Let's open our Bibles to John chapter number 3 tonight. John chapter number 3. And we're going to pick up in verse number 16. And we have been talking about the fact that love gives. And we'll pull that out of John chapter number 3, verse number 16 here. Let me put my old man glasses on so that I can see. Verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time where we can stop among all the busyness. And Lord, it's so funny to see that even in a time where things are kind of slowed down and they're different from normal, there's still a lot of craziness and busyness to this time of year. And I'm thankful for those of us that can set aside, both in person and online, some time just to remember the point of all of it. The time where, God, you loved us so much that you gave us a wonderful gift, the gift of your Son. And God, I pray for somebody who may be here, maybe somebody watching online, they've never trusted Jesus to be their Savior. They have never accepted his free gift of salvation. I pray that today would be the day where they would be born again into God's family and understand that love that you have for them. And God, I pray that you challenge all of us as Christians. And we've been trying to take the focus off of ourselves this time of year and just consider our generosity. And Lord, are we reflecting you to the people around us in the way that we give? Help us now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's so hard to believe that Christmas is tomorrow. And I don't know about you, but there's some times where, like, I can't believe it's December already. Like, I can't believe it's Christmas. It feels like 2020 just went like that. And then there's other times where it's like 2020's been a decade, like, I have aged so much this past year. I think a lot of us have with just everything that has gone on. And as we think about Christmas being tomorrow, and we've already asked about whether or not you got all your Christmas wrapping done, I did finally finish right before service. Got my wife's gifts all wrapped, all ready to go. And that got me kind of thinking about gifts. Who's excited about gifts tomorrow? Excited? What are you hoping to get? Does somebody have something they're really hoping to get tomorrow? Kate, what do you want to get tomorrow? Things. Just things. She's like, give me stuff. What do you want? What? Are you serious? That sounds awesome. What do you want? Animal Crossing New Horizons. Okay, Sarah. A doorbell. She wants a Ring doorbell so you can look on your phone and see who's at your house, right? So we can just stop by your house and be like, hey, even if you're not there. Somebody else, what are you guys hoping to get?
Cookie sheets.
Yeah. You do a lot of baking, so that would be very helpful. I kind of want you to get cooking sheets. Yeah, Drew. He wants ammo. Good luck with that right now. So I was going to say, I hope nobody in here wants a PlayStation 5 because those are impossible to find right now. Bailey, what do you want? You want a scooter. Man, that sounds like a lot of fun. And I think about, when we're thinking about what we're going to get, you know, as adults, sometimes the things we want aren't all that exciting. You know, cooking sheets. Like, how exciting is that? For you it is, yes. Or like a Ring door, like a doorbell. Now, remember back when you were kids? Like, some of these kids have some awesome things that they want. And I want all of us just to stop and to think back to when you were a kid for a second. What is the most memorable gift that your parents ever got for you? Can you remember the most memorable gift? Yes, Travis. Got you some Hot Wheels. Man, I used to play Hot Wheels like crazy all the time. Alex. Big Tonka dump truck. In the big one like this, right? Yep, we had one of those. Pastor Plinus. A Lionel train. Yeah, you still have trains, don't you? Love trains. So, anybody else? Yes?
PlayStation 3.
got a PlayStation 3, this young kid. He's like, my parents got me a PlayStation 3, yes.
A floral dress with a huge white lace collar.
I wish I had a picture to show everybody. I didn't know about that, or I would have tried to find it. A floral dress, for those of you at home, floral dress with giant lace collar. Yeah, Sarah, did you have something?
Easy Bake Oven.
Easy Bake Oven. How many of you had Easy Bake Oven? All right. Easy Bake Oven. I don't know whose idea that was. It did not bake very well, but I think for me, I'm a little older than Jonathan here. So for me, it was when my parents got us a Sega Genesis. So for you young kids, that's a gaming console. It's a step above Atari at that point. So, but I think of all the time we spent playing video games as fans. Sonic the Hedgehog and Madden Football, Golden Axe. Like, I would play Golden Axe with my dad till like the wee hours of the morning sometimes. And we had a lot of fun with that thing. And I didn't realize it at the time. But as I got older, thinking about that gift and kind of our childhood and what it was like, my parents sacrificed to get that for us. They sacrificed for that. And it reminds me of what we're looking at here. We've been looking at a church in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And it reminds me of the way that this church gave. Because this church was a church, and these were Christians that they didn't think about themselves. And we often, I'm so selfish. We are so selfish so often, and we think about ourselves. And these were believers who were thinking about other people, and they knew what it meant to sacrifice. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn here to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. If you don't, we'll put it on the screen here so that you can see it for yourself as well. We're going to pick up in verse number 1 and kind of set the scene for some of you that maybe haven't been taking this journey with us. And he says in verse 1 there, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." And I want you to see a couple things. Go back to verse number 2 there for just a second. And you see a couple of things here. First of all, I want you to notice the words deep poverty. So first of all, they were in deep poverty. And just before that, it talks about a great trial of affliction. So these were people who were struggling. They were hurting. They were in desperate need. And yet they didn't let those things be an excuse for why they couldn't be generous to somebody else. It would be easy for them to think about themselves in those moments. And there's been times this year with everything that's gone on where I have been concerned about me and how these things affect me. And I'm probably not alone in that. But that's the kind of people that they were. And that's why Paul was using them here as an illustration of generosity. And he says, okay, so understanding the circumstances that they're in, verse 3, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints." So basically what he's saying is they were so poor that they had to beg the Apostle Paul to take their gift for him and for the other believers. And I've been in circumstances like that where I'm just, man, somebody wanted to give me something or do something for me, and I felt so guilty because I knew, hey, I'm in a better situation than you are. But they wanted to give. Had a heart of generosity. And it says this, verse 5, "And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God." And we've kind of focused in on that verse, because if we give ourselves to God first, then whatever he wants us to do after that is no big deal. And that's why these believers could be so generous, because they had already said, "God, whatever I am, I'm yours. Whatever I have belongs to you." So then, as they would see different needs come up, yeah, we'll take care of that. We'll help out with that. We'll do what we can. Why? Because they gave themselves to God first. And that's something I want you to consider this Christmas time. We think about all these different people in our lives and the different gifts that we are going to get for them. What about the God who loved you so much that he was willing to sacrifice everything? Do you have anything for him? Have you thought about him at all? And I know that if you're here tonight or if you're joining us online, then you are taking time to think about him, because that's the whole point of all of this. But they gave themselves to God first. And really what they were doing is they were following the example of the generous God that they came to know and love. Now we've read John chapter number 3. Let's look at this again. And I want you to help me out with this verse here, verse number 16, where it says, "For God so," what's the word?
Love.
"The world that he
gave."
That's why we say love gives. He loved you, so he gave. And you notice what he gave here, it wasn't just some thing that didn't mean a lot to him. Because you think about who God is. Okay, God created everything. So what if God just said, you know what I'm going to do is I am going to create gold and just give that to you? That doesn't really cost them anything. And a gift that doesn't really cost us anything isn't really that valuable. So to prove his love, he gave something that was so important to him. He gave his only begotten son. And there was a purpose behind it all, because God understood the need that each of us had. He understood that we had broken his rules, that we were in what the Bible calls sin. We have sinned. We've done wrong. And that sin had to be dealt with. The punishment for that sin is eternity in the lake of fire. That's what I deserve. That's what you deserve, because we have done wrong. But God loves you. God loves me. He does not want us to have to pay the penalty for our own wrongdoing. And so he said, you know what? I love you. I'm going to give, and I'm going to give you the most valuable thing that I have, and that is my only son. And so he gave Jesus. And that's what we celebrate this Christmas time. In Galatians 4, verse number 4, it tells us this: "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And so when it was just the right time, that's when Jesus came into this world. And that's what we celebrate right now. That's what we're stopping to remember, is that moment when that time for the prophecies to all be fulfilled came, that God sent Jesus into this world. And what a miraculous birth that it was. And his birth is proof that he is God, that he is the Savior of the world. And the point of it all, once again, just as he said in John 3, in verse number 5 there, Galatians 4, it says, the purpose of him coming was so he could redeem them. He wants to redeem us. In Matthew chapter number 1, the angel announced it at his birth, the purpose of his coming. In Matthew chapter 1, verse number 20, it says this: "But while he thought on these things," talking about Joseph, "behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So he lets them know the whole point of Jesus coming, the whole point of God sending his son, was so that he could save us from our sins. That's why he came. God gave sacrificially, and these believers in Macedonia were following that example. They knew and followed a God who gave sacrificially, and they wanted to be like him, and so they gave sacrificially. Maybe you're here tonight, you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior. I wish you could know and understand how much God loves you. He loves you so much that he would give his son to pay the price for your sin. And it's not just God the Father who loves you. It's not just God the Father who gives sacrificially so that you could have a right relationship with God. Jesus loves you as well. And Jesus was willing to pay whatever the cost, whatever the sacrifice that needed to be made, Jesus was willing to make it. And it tells us this in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. But God commends or shows his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Jesus. So it's not just God the Father who loves you and was willing to sacrifice. Jesus loves you and he was willing to sacrifice. God did not twist Jesus' arm to get him to come down to earth and pay the price for our sins. Jesus willingly laid down his life. Jesus even talked about that. He said, listen, nobody forcing me to lay down my life. I have power to lay my life down and I have power to take it up again. He willingly made himself a sacrifice to pay the price for our wrongdoing so that he could offer us that free gift of eternal life. And he sacrificially gives the greatest gift that we can ever have. And there would be nothing greater this Christmas than for you to receive the gift of eternal life that he has for you. And I want you to stop for just a minute. And in the quietness of your heart, I want you to think about, have you accepted his gift? I'm not asking if you think you're a good person, because there are no good people. I'm not a good person, even though I'm a pastor. There's no good people. Okay? We've all done wrong. We all deserve to be punished for that wrongdoing. I'm asking if you have received the only acceptable payment for your wrongdoing, the gift of eternal life through Jesus. And if you haven't, man, why not accept it tonight? Why not believe on him tonight? And for those of you that have trusted Jesus to be your Savior, how generous are you? Man, I'm the first one to admit that I am often so very selfish. And I think that you are too. Well, you don't know what I give. You don't know what I... Listen, you're a human. Just like I'm human. We're selfish. And it's a constant battle for me to not be selfish. To think about other people first and to give to them. So, well, how generous are you? How generous am I? Are we following the example that he gave for us? And are we giving sacrificially? John chapter 3, verse number 16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Love gives sacrificially. So should we. Oh,